Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. A few weeks ago, we had a brief conversation on this show with our outdoor adventure contributors about the enjoyment of pickling and preserving things. It was maybe a thumbnail sketch on how to take that first tentative step into making your own pickles or jam. A little while later, we got a phone call that made the point that while it's not necessarily hard to do these things, it is definitely important to pay close attention to how you do them. The call was from Christina Ward, who just happens to be the master food preserver for Milwaukee County and who joins us in the studio now to get us out of that pickle. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let me start with a really obvious question. You are the master food preserver for Milwaukee County. Why does Milwaukee County need a master food preserver, and what does that mean?
Master food preserver, we have fun with the title because it sounds something out of a comic book as the master food preserver. No, I don't have a cape. What it does mean is this is part of the history of Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin at Madison, and all the land-grant universities that had extension offices that provided support services to mostly rural areas. With the rise of urban agriculture, it was determined, and I fought for, to get it authorized back for Milwaukee County to provide that support system and to be the expert for any type of food preservation questions as people are doing it. We're having a great resurgence in urban agriculture here in Milwaukee. And so that natural next step is if you've grown a bumper crop of tomatoes, what are you going to do with them? And so that's where the food preserving program comes in. We're looking to advocate and teach people the safest methodologies and techniques for preserving your food that you've grown or you've bought at the farmers markets.
Well, and so then let me ask you a big, vague question that probably has multiple answers but might be a good way to get us into this. So as a certified master preserver, I mean, obviously you realize that most of us are not. How skilled do you have to be to get into this craft?
You don't have to be very skilled. Some of the challenge is a lot of canning information was traditionally matriarchal, and this was handed down by oral histories. What the extension does, in concert with many other extension offices throughout the country, is looks to build science behind that information. So somebody's not doing something just because grandma did it that way, but using good core science. Some of the challenge is that you want to make sure that you've got the most up-to-date science. And sometimes that can be confusing. So it doesn't take a huge amount of skill to get started, but it sure does help to have just taking a class or talking to that expert to sort out what's the truth, what's the science-backed real information, and what's just local folklore passed along because, you know, grandma did it that way.
Well, and so then let me ask, as you look at traditions and the folklore of this, has grandma been doing it wrong all these years?
Yes. A lot of grandmas have been canning botulism. So not to that effect. A lot of this, again, we know from the science is that our gut flora and fauna has changed over the years. We have more allergies than we ever do, part of because of there's more germs than there ever were. So some of the methodologies that were safe for grandma in Black River Falls on the farm are not so safe if you're in the city of Milwaukee and you haven't grown up on a farm and you weren't eating her home canned foods. So you want to keep your techniques updated and making sure they're safe for now, not safe for 1920.
Well, so then let's talk some definitions here. Canning, preserving, pickling?
Canning and preserving are synonymous. Pickling is a technique. If you look at it, canning's a little beyond cooking in the sense that it's both chemistry and physics. So what we're doing is we're not just trying to make food taste delicious. We're trying to keep it from essentially decaying and becoming a happy home for germs. And so by doing that, with most of preserving, the basics really getting started for jams, jellies, pickles, is what you're doing is you're changing that food. You're changing the chemistry of the food to make it a place where germs don't want to grow.
This is kind of probably a term you don't necessarily like to use because it's such a food science term, but the term shelf stable I keep hearing.
Oh, we use shelf stable all the time. Yeah, absolutely. And that's your long-term goal. That's the second part of food preservation, canning, processing, is by submerging it in that hot water bath, that processing that you see the old speckled enameled canners. What that does is it essentially pushes the oxygen, any remnant oxygen, out of the stored foodstuffs. And that combination of creating an acidic environment as well as pushing the oxygen out, creating an anaerobic environment, makes it safe and shelf-stable. For the recommendation from the Extension Office is 1 year, 1 year from the date you make it. So always mark the date on your jars. You'll never actually remember, I promise.
What are the areas in which preserving can most easily go wrong?
I put it down to laziness. It's one of those things is if you're supposed to process your tomatoes for 35 minutes and you've got to get out the door and you're saying, well, 5 minutes won't make a difference. I'll just do, 30. That actually makes a difference. The physics of it, the calculations that are made, every recipe has the instructions for how long you process for. That's critical. How you prepare the jars and how you prepare the foods in it. So the cases where people do get sick is when someone's taking a shortcut.
We are kind of a shortcut-obsessed society.
We are. And, I will say that this past year it's been interesting watching the Ball Company, which is the main manufacturer of Ball of canning jars and carrots, the same company, Muncie, Indiana. They've had some quality control issues because they're trying to give people shortcuts when you don't really need the shortcuts about making, the lids that you don't have to sterilize anymore or automatic jam makers. So things like that. They're trying to make something easy when it doesn't have to be.
Well, and presumably if you want jam to be easy, you can always go to the store and buy jam.
Exactly. Or I'll make my plug for Loco. Go to your local farmer's market. There's many great people who know what they're doing who are selling it. But at the same time, you have to be cautious. Ask them questions. Always ask questions.
You mentioned sterilization. So let's talk about that. What do we need to know about sterilizing our equipment when it comes to both the preserving and pickling?
The basics are, again, this comes to what science knows and embracing modernity. If you have a dishwasher, run your jars through the dishwasher. Leave them in there hot. That works great. It really does. Otherwise, we always recommend a just-in-time method of hot, soapy water right before you're going to use them. A lot of people will ask me and say, oh, don't I have to boil all my jars?
And I have done that.
Yeah. And unless you're, canning outside on the farm where you've got a cold stream and a fire and that's all you have, no, you don't. Hot, soapy water, well-rinsed, used immediately, works great. And again, some of those old recommendations are based on before we have good soap. When you're making soap in the fire out of lye, and tallow, yeah, you're going to want to boil jars. But again, our soap has come a long way.
How fresh do the ingredients need to be at the start? I mean, let's say you'd like to make strawberry jam or preserves, and it is well past strawberry season here in Wisconsin. Could you take strawberries from the grocery store and accomplish the same thing? I realize that this goes against the farmer's market rule of thumb, and obviously, if it's not strawberry season here, you're not going to find them at the farmer's market.
And this comes for me more of a – I'm on the personal soapbox right now. I'm personally against it. Can you do it? Absolutely. The essence of food preservation is just that, preserving it. It's about picking those strawberries at a local farm or grown yourself, working till 2 a.m. to either cut them and freeze them or get your jams made, and then having that connectivity to food. And realizing when you crack open a jar of that strawberry jam you made on June 24th, that in the middle of January, that you have that appreciation of the food itself as well as the work that went into it. And so that's part of just like the larger mission about, again, building that connectivity and community is sometimes I think we take so much food for granted is that when we go to the grocery store and we're looking for a strawberry in February and people will often say, it doesn't really taste like a strawberry. That's because it's been, shipped across country. So pick it fresh, preserve it as soon as you can, and you will savor that taste, and it will taste better than any other thing that you can buy in a store.
Well, so let's talk about what's out at the farmer's market now and maybe some interesting things that we may not have thought of to turn into preserves or even pickle.
This is a great season for pickling, believe it or not. People will often think of just pickles as being cucumbers. And pickling is the process, not the thing, though our shorthand we call pickled cucumbers pickles. all the fall vegetables are coming in. And I saw at the farmer's market on last Saturday, the Brussels sprouts are coming. They usually need a little bit of a cold to really, you know, get them nice and sweet. And my rule of thumb for pickling and my recommendation for everybody is if you can imagine it in a Bloody Mary, you can pickle it. So Brussels sprouts are coming in. Turnips are coming in. That one sounds kind of funny.
I have pickled turnips.
Pickled turnips are great. Beets, sweet pickled beets are beautiful this time of year, as well as some of the more the exotics of rutabaga. You can go the English style called Branston pickle, which is essentially just a pickled mix of root vegetables.
What about fruits? I have found a recipe of yours online for pickled pineapple, which presumably is not local, but other things that we might think of as typically sweet. What about pickling them?
Pickling fruit is real fun because you have to imagine that if you can, the essence of a pickle is a vinegar solution. You can make it savory or you can make it sweet. And so making a sweet pickling solution with fruit works really well. There's the Wisconsin Supper Club favorite, if you kind of harken back to the old supper clubs, is pickled apples, actually. And apples are super ripe right now. You can go to the orchards and pick them and do that supper club style pickled apples. And it's apple cider vinegar, a little bit of cinnamon, and some either white sugar, brown sugar, and you've got this lovely sweet sour apple.
Now, we should mention that there are a couple of types of pickling techniques out there. There's the refrigerator pickles, which are not shelf stable for clearly as long as the long-term pickles.
There's a few styles of pickles, and in Wisconsin, primarily culturally, you'll see what we do, either crock pickles, and that's a pickling solution, over the fresh cucumbers or, you know, the fresh vegetable in a big old ceramic crock. And then when they're done fermenting, doing their crock thing, they go in the fridge. It's a refrigerator pickle. There's kind of pickles that you can take that further and process them in a hot water bath canner. And then there's also more familiar on the East Coast. They're usually referred to as koshers or sometimes Jewish half sours. And those are actually a no vinegar solution. That's a full lacto fermented pickle. And that's just using.
Okay, give us a definition there.
Yeah, so lacto fermentation is a style of preservation more familiar here with people with sauerkraut. Sauerkraut, something that's a lacto fermentation. And that's using salt to attract a very specific bacteria from the air. There's kind of the magic to the process that helps transform the natural moisture in the vegetable into essentially an alcohol, for lack of a better term, and that preserves your vegetable.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
We've been talking kind of casually about some of the various things that you can pickle or preserve and some of the techniques that you can use, but we obviously haven't given specific recipes over the radio. What should people know about looking for reliable recipes in this, you know, in this world where you can Google anything and probably come up with a recipe for anything?
There are some very specific recipes that are safe and tested, and there's some great places to go to get those. And we emphasize safe and tested. Again, this goes back to the science of it, and you want to have recipes that have the proper acidity. And so instead of having to send your favorite jam recipe out to a lab to get pH tested, is if you follow a safe and tested recipe, you can get those. So we always recommend going to the University of Wisconsin Extension website. We have recipe books for every type of food preservation with a multitude of safe and tested recipes. The Ball Canning site, Fresh Preserving, they test a lot of recipes as well. And that's what we always recommend as a beginner book to get is they call it the Ball Blue Book, the canning book, often referred to as the canning Bible. That is a great place to start. What we also recommend is that if you do have a book, check the date. Things that are published after 1994 are things that are considered safe. And again, let me remind everybody that this is chemistry and physics. It's not just a little cooking. So if you do it wrong, you know, you when you're cooking, you might just burn something. If you do it wrong when you're canning, you may kill somebody. And our joke in class is always that if you're going to kill somebody, do it on purpose. Don't do it by accident. So I know that my one bugaboo right now is there's a very great popularity and the recipes are flying around the internet on bacon jam. Don't do it. Do not can it. Make a batch if you want. Stick it in your refrigerator. But, you know, that, again, not safe. No bacon jam.
You've mentioned classes a couple of times. So what are the classes that are available out there? And again, how rabid do you need to be, for lack of a better term, for this skill to get into these classes?
The classes that I offer through as a partnership through Milwaukee Recreation as well as at Alverno College is about adult education. So we, you know, teenagers and over, little kids. Though once you get good, you can do it at home with the little kids. But in classes, it can be there's an element of danger, lots of boiling water and hot pots. So through recreation, we do them after work times. They are $20 for City of Milwaukee residents. It's hands-on. You get printed materials. You make things, and you get to take things home. The key is to make it accessible. My goal for everyone taking a class is that they feel confident that they can go home and make the thing that we made in class.
And if people don't want to go as far as taking classes, they can still call the extension if they have specific questions.
You can absolutely. The extension that's part of the Master Food Preserver program is that I'm your resource. There are people that over the span of time may have taken the Master Preserver course through the university or at other places. But the Extension Office only recognizes maybe one or two people as the Master Food Preserver expert for their area. And that's a person who's actually working with the state, working with the county, and is like the tagged as the expert. And so if you call the Extension Office, you'll get routed to my number. And I'm happy to answer your questions for you and try to prevent any disasters from happening.
You can be a Master Food Preserver, but you are the Master Food Preserver.
Yeah, funny as it sounds, that's the way it is.
Christina Ward, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Christina Ward is the Master Food Preserver for Milwaukee County. There is a link to more on the food preserving courses offered through the University of Wisconsin Extension Service, plus some useful recipes at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then we'll travel to India, the India of the early 1960s, and chat with the author of a series of books set in a watershed time for that country. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.